Heart Advice from Spiritual Masters. The following words of wisdom are from Tibetan Buddhist masters who have taught in the West. I asked these teachers some version of the three questions that structure this book. Three questions that strike the vital point. 1. What is the best thing to do before death? 2. What is the best thing to do during death? 3. What is the best thing to do after death? When I had the time, I asked these questions in terms of what to do for ourselves, and then what to do for others. I gave each master the option of sharing whatever they felt was important. I didn't want to limit them with my formulated questions. The answers were directed to students of Buddhism, but many of these responses could be shared with anyone. Since Tibetan Buddhism is virtually synonymous with Vajrayana Buddhism, some of the answers emphasize the Vajrayana. There is wonderful counsel in the following. I recommend listening to and contemplating just one teaching at a time to allow the depth of these words to soak in. In referring to this treasure trove of wisdom again and again, I find that my entire being relaxes. It's like being bathed in the liberating words of the Buddha himself. I know that if I have the luxury to die with my Dharma friends around me, I will have them read these teachings to me repeatedly. I find the following advice to be the very embodiment of these masters. It feels like they're embracing me, the perfect spiritual holding environment. Anam Thubten Rinpoche. Anam Thubten was raised in Tibet and received academic and spiritual monastic training in the Nyingma tradition. His main teachers include Kenpo Chopel, Lama Garwang, and the yogi Lama Surlo. Anam Thubten is fluent in English. He commands a prodigious vocabulary and teaches frequently throughout America. He is the founder of the Dharmata Foundation, based in Point Richmond, California, and is the author of No Self, No Problem and The Magic of Awareness. This interview was conducted at Naropa University in Boulder, Colorado. What's the best thing to do to prepare for death? How would you advise your students? Well, I don't know whether there's a Buddhist perspective versus a Hindu perspective, but the basic idea is that what you've got now is what you're going to get when you die. I'm very much a believer in this statement. This is what Buddhism says. There's an expression in Tibetan Buddhism that says, "Where you are going into the future can be known by looking at the color of your mind now." So I don't think there is a preparation for death separate from that of life. My advice is to become awakened as soon as possible. Then, at the time of death, everything is taken care of. There is no advice separately for death and for life. Same advice for life and for death. If you don't know how to live, then you don't know how to prepare for death either. So the question is, how do you want to live? Do you want to live as an awakened being? When someone who is a student of Buddhism is actually in the dying process, what's the best thing they can do at that point? Arise above the illusion of self, not to identify with the self. Then no one is dying, and then reside in the luminous awareness. What can Sangha do to support someone who is dying, both during the bardo of dying and the bardo after death? Pray, pray. The Sangha can do sadhanas and prayers for them. Basically, pray for the deceased one to discover their union with original Buddha. Pray for her or him to be awakened to their true nature as the Dharmakaya, the unborn and undying Buddha. It can be as spontaneous as just a heartfelt expression of that. It doesn't have to be a specific liturgy or practice. No, not at all. You can use a particular liturgy, but it doesn't have to be. You can just pray out of your pure heart. Is there anything else you would like to say to your students? That's pretty much all. Anyen Rinpoche. Anyen Rinpoche is from Amdo, Tibet, and has spent over 14 years in study and solitary retreat, culminating in the Kenpo degree. Rinpoche has taught in Tibet, China, Southeast Asia, Japan, and throughout North America. He lives in Denver, Colorado, and is the author of The Union of Dzogchen and Bodhicitta, Momentary Buddhahood, and Dying with Confidence. I talked to Rinpoche in Denver, and he responded to my questions via email. If practitioners want to be able to meditate in the bardo state, then it is essential to work at listening, contemplation, and meditation now, during the bardo of birth and abiding. It is especially important to work at recognizing the dream state and at abiding in meditation in the dream state, since the dream state and the stages of death have similarities. Based on this preparation, you will have nothing to worry about during the stages after death. However, if you do not practice in this lifetime and just spend your time thinking that the bardo states are amazing or wondrous, this will not benefit you at all. Bardor Tulku Rinpoche. Bardor Tulku Rinpoche was born in Tibet and fled to Rumtek Monastery in Sikkim in 1959. At Rumtek, he studied under the 16th Karmapa and was instructed by His Holiness to help establish Karma Triyana Dharma Chakra in upstate New York, 1978. Rinpoche is the founder of Kunsang Palchen Ling and the Raktrul Foundation. His publications include Living in Compassion, A Practitioner's Guide to Mantra, and The Practice of Green Tare. I interviewed Rinpoche in Woodstock, New York. What's the best thing to do before death? Basically, every practice during life is definitely a preparation for the bardo state. Nothing is different that you have to do. Whoever has their own teacher, whatever practices they give you, make a genuine effort to achieve that practice. If your teacher gives you Vajra Yogini, Chakra Samvara, Hevajra, or Chenresi, visualize those, focus on those. When you are passing away, you will recognize. That means you won't even have to go through the bardo state. You will be liberated. That's what practice is all about. If someone doesn't have that much strength, then the situation of the second level is to focus on the root guru. That is the message. Among all the teachers and the deities, the closest one is your root guru, in human form. Because of your human contact, your history together, in the tantric practice, focus on the root guru. Imagine your mind is inseparable from the root guru. As soon as you know you are not going to make it, focus on this continuously. This is the key. You don't have to focus on too many deities. The root guru is all. The root guru is the Yidam, Lama, and Dharmapala. By doing this, you will be able to save yourself. Then for the third situation, there are three different levels of the bardo. Bardo of Dharmakaya, of the Sambhogakaya, and of the Nirmanakaya. During these three different experiences, it all depends on how you are able to recognize them. If you are able to recognize the first experience, you will naturally dissolve into the Dharmakaya. If you recognize the Sambhogakaya, you will be able to dissolve into that. And if you recognize the Nirmanakaya, you will dissolve into that. If not, you will have to take on a coarse form and be reborn. But still, if you are able to think of your teacher and consort as your Yidam, and you merge into their mind, you will be able to take a good rebirth. But it is up to the individual's ability. What is the best way for the Sangha to help? Read the Bardo Thutral, Tibetan Book of the Dead, literature. Not the commentary literature, but the Bardo Thutral literature. Start reading it when you know they are not going to make it. Try not to gather around the lower parts of the body as much as possible. Gather around the top of the body. You can touch the top of the head, even pull on the hair, at the Brahmarandra, and recite different mantras, like Chenresi's mantra, or Amitabha. Or if you are a Kagyupa, recite Karmapa Chenno, or if from a different lineage, your root guru's mantra. Things like that are sufficient. Then if someone has done the 3-year retreat and has experience doing Powa, then doing Powa is very good. If you can do this, then if the dying person was otherwise going to go to the lower realms, they will in essence not have to be reborn in the lower realms for the duration of this Buddha's teaching. In other words, Buddha Shakyamuni's teaching is still around, but it will someday disappear. Then the next Buddha, the fifth Buddha of this age, will appear, and the dying person will have avoided the lower realms during this entire time due to the power of Powa. It is therefore quite beneficial. What's the best thing for us to do to help others after they have died? We can offer butter lamps in front of a representation of the Buddha, along with the name of the person who has died. It depends on how much the family can do. The full 49 days is best, or 7 days, or 3 days, or 1 day. It's up to the family. Doing this is very important. Then asking different teachers to do prayers for the dead is very important. Then the individual should do their own practice, even a little bit every day, for the 49 days. That is a good thing to do. Chökyi Nyima Rinpoche. Chökyi Nyima Rinpoche was born in Tibet in 1951, the son of the great Dzogchen master Tulku Urgen Rinpoche. He fled to India in 1959 and studied at Rumtek Monastery, attaining the Kenpo degree. In 1974, Rinpoche established Ka Nying Sherab Ling in Boudanath, Nepal, and served as its abbot. In 1981, Rinpoche founded Rangjung Yeshe Institute for Buddhist Studies and Rangjung Yeshe Publications, both designed to help Western students study Tibetan Dharma. Among his many books are The Union of Mahamudra and Dzogchen, Bardo Guidebook, and Indisputable Truth. I interviewed Rinpoche in Boudanath, Nepal. What is the best thing to do before death? Death is natural. Sometimes we live long or short. The bottom line is we all will die. Each of us, there are no exceptions. Whether you like to talk about it or not, or think about it or not, it is very important to know about death and impermanence. We need to face that. We tend to think that death is ugly, not good. We ask ourselves, why should we talk about it? It's not necessary. This is not a wise way of thinking. We need to face it. We need to face sickness, old age, and death. Rather than hiding or being ignorant about these difficult topics, it's good to know about them. No matter what religion or faith, people still want to die smoothly, easily. No one wants to die a horrible death. So what makes a peaceful death? What makes a difficult death? Difficult deaths are brought on by too much clinging. Clinging to self or relatives or what you have created in this world. Name, fame, power, money. So much clinging, not letting go, leads to a horrible death. At the moment of death, you realize you can't own anything. Even during life, if we lose little things, we feel uneasy. Goodness, I lost my shoe, I lost my cat, I lost my camera, my car, my this or that. This is just a tiny piece. At death, we lose everything. Everything that you created, anything physically, verbally, mentally, is being taken away. All of it, suddenly, you need to give up. There is nothing you can take with you. So now, what is the method? Very simple. Let go. Let go. You need to let go. You need to know that if you cling, it only leads to more suffering. You need to give up. You need to let go. Don't cling. Whatever you created, land, home, money, family, whatever, clinging is of no use, especially to loved ones. Show them your love, care, respect, and let them go. We also need to be kind to others during life. If we're not kind, suffering starts. Understand how kindness leads to happiness. Sometimes people may think you're naive. He's kind to everyone. This person has no discrimination. But the motivation to be kind to everyone is very important. So now you need to give good and wise advice to your friends, family, whoever loves you, whoever trusts you. You need to give them very important and good advice. Don't be selfish. What's the best way to help others as they die? Poa is very important. If you can't do that, try to be with them and be simple and genuine. Tell them you love them, that you're here for them. Tell them not to overreact to anything, that the journey will be okay. Tell them not to be attached to anything. Meditate with them if possible. Keep it simple, shamatha or vipassana. Love them. What's the best thing to do after someone dies? Practice for them and dedicate the merit to them. Ask your sangha to practice for them as well. Traditionally, every week, for at least the first 3 weeks, on the day that they died. If they died on Sunday, try to practice and to have your sangha practice for them the following Sunday, and then for the next few Sundays after that. That's the emergency time when they really need your help in the bardo. and you can affect their good rebirth. You can also contact monasteries here in Nepal, and the monks will do pujas for them. Dilyak Drupan Rinpoche. Dilyak Drupan Rinpoche was born in Bhutan and trained by His Holiness the 16th Karmapa. He is a graduate of Nalanda Institute for Higher Buddhist Studies in Rumtek, Sikkim, India. Since 2000, Rinpoche has been serving His Holiness the 17th Karmapa as his primary attendant, and in 2006 he was appointed his general secretary. Rinpoche also maintains Dilyak Monastery in Nepal. He teaches in the West under the auspices of Nalanda Bodhi. This interview was conducted in Boulder, Colorado. What is the best thing for students of Tibetan Buddhism to do to prepare for death? In general, there are so many different methods to practice, so many different ways to prepare. Kenpo Sultrim Gyamso Rinpoche instructs that even though there are different meditations and visualizations that one can do, the simplest and best preparation is to practice Lob Jong. Practice Lob Jong in advance of death, and then again, to whatever extent you are capable, when you are actually dying. You can also think that whatever you have accumulated, whether it is merit or any other form of goodness and wealth, that is all given away to sentient beings on the medium of the out-breath. And then on the in-breath, take in whatever suffering, difficulties, and problems others have. In other words, practice Tonglen. What's the best thing someone can do when they are actually dying? Usually we talk about looking at one's mind, as in Mahamudra or Dzogchen practice. But ordinary people can't do this right away. These practices need to be worked with for a long time, continually, throughout one's life. Then perhaps you can do this at the moment of death. If you are a Mahamudra or Dzogchen practitioner and are able to rest in the nature of your mind, that is the best. For others, Lob Jong and Tonglen are the best. Lob Jong is something you can think about. You don't necessarily need a great deal of experience. Ordinary people can simply think about taking the sufferings of others in on the in-breath, and then giving away their own accumulations and wealth on the out-breath. That is very simple. So therefore, for normal people, even as they are dying, Lob Jong and Tonglen are the best practices. If Rinpoche is at the side of someone who is dying and he is trying to help them, what is the best way to help? In this kind of situation, if you are at the side of someone you know well, then help them according to the level of their own practice. If they have done Mahamudra or Dzogchen practice in life, then remind them of that. If they happen to be a student of some Lama, then remind them of their Lama and help them nurture their devotion. Remind them of their Guru. For example, if someone is a student of Kenpo Rinpoche, then just remind them of him. They already have their devotion and their own practice, so your job is to remind them of that. After someone has died and they wake up in the bardo and realize they are dead, what is the best thing they can do at that time? It depends on the dead person. Some are good practitioners with good experience, and these people don't even need to go through the bardo. For others who have done a lot of practice and have some experience, but not a great deal of stability, the bardo can appear frightful. They may forget about their practice. These are the people you can help during the 49 days after death. For example, the bardo Thadrol can be read to them. For each day and for each week, there are explanations in this text of what they might be going through, so read the instructions and guidance from this book to help them. In our monasteries, we have a tradition of doing pujas for them during this 49-day period. If possible, you can invite lamas to do this, or the sangha. If that can't happen, you can at least invite close friends to chant liturgies and practice for the dead person. Because we often don't have access to lamas and monks who do these pujas, are there specific practices that Westerners can emphasize? It is not necessary to have a big puja. For example, if your friend died, you can read the Bardo Thadrol or other Bardo books, and that will really help. In our tradition, we read very clear and slow so they can hear what you are reading. What is the place of the Pure Land teaching for Westerners? Because the Buddha taught on the Pure Lands, there is great blessing in the Pure Land teaching. So it is indeed helpful to engage in Pure Land practices and study. Does Rinpoche have any general comments for students in the West? Generally, whatever we are doing as Buddhists is all preparation for death. The most important thing is that when you are getting close to death, you should try to relax. Relaxation is really the most important thing. Jigar Kongtrul Rinpoche. Jigar Kongtrul Rinpoche was born in North India. He grew up and studied in a traditional monastic environment with Khyentse Rinpoche and Tulku Urgyen Rinpoche. In 1989, Rinpoche moved to the United States and taught at Naropa University. Rinpoche soon founded Mangala Sri Butti and his retreat center, Longchen Jigme Samten Ling, both in Colorado. He is an active teacher around the world and an accomplished artist. Rinpoche's books include It's Up to You and Light Comes Through. Rinpoche's response, given at Ward, Colorado, is based on his teachings of the five strengths of Lo Jong, or the mind training slogans. The order of presenting these five strengths is different from how the five are practiced during life, when they are practiced in this order: intention, familiarization, merit, critical intelligence, aspiration. His emphasis on cultivating bodhicitta as the best preparation, perhaps the most consistent advice given by all these masters, is eloquently driven home. What's the most important thing we can do to prepare for death? The most important thing we can do to prepare for death is to really focus on the practice of bodhicitta, as explained in the five strengths. When do you start the death time practice of the five strengths? When the doctors tell you you have so many months to live, when a terminal diagnosis is given, that is the time to really focus on this practice. In terms of the five strengths, we should practice them in preparation for death as follows. 1. The strength of virtue or merit. This is the power of good deeds and the accumulation of merit. Now is the time to get over your attachments, to let go of your assets, which only serve to bind you at death. Attachments are a real hindrance to a peaceful death and a hindrance in the bardo. Even in the bardo, the mind comes back to our assets and we worry about who is using them, what is happening to our things. So before you die, increase the power of virtue by being generous. Offer your things to others. Be careful not to give your things to your family as an extension of yourself, but give to them or others as independent beings. This makes it cleaner, less sticky. Give precisely, with no strings attached. Otherwise, for sure, with 100% certainty, it will come back to haunt you as you die or are in the bardo. It's good to give maybe 75% of your things to a charitable cause and 25% or so to your loved ones. But the really important point is to free ourselves of attachment. Bardo beings have clairvoyance. They can see the state of mind of their loved ones left behind. They can see how they are caught up in your old possessions. So we want to give cleanly in advance and therefore not get caught up in the possessions we leave behind. If we are not attached, if we really practice generosity properly, then discipline follows more easily. Generosity and discipline are the first and second paramitas, respectively. If the mind is free of attachment, it is freer to do what it needs to do in the bardos. Giving also accumulates merit, and we want to accumulate as much merit as possible before we die. 2. The power of aspiration or prayer. Make the strong aspiration that we could take this time before death to really increase our bodhicitta practice, and to be able to continue from the last moment of this life into the bardo with bodhicitta practice, and then through the bardo and into our next life. In that way, all circles of life, however long it takes until enlightenment, can be a continuous practice of bodhicitta. Make a deep aspiration prayer in this way. Also make aspirations to be born in favorable conditions, to find a real teacher, a real path, and the ability to practice bodhicitta until enlightenment. So even if we only progress 1% now, 99% is still to come. Make aspirations to meet this 99% in future lives, where positive seeds ripen and positive karma ripens, and where the practice of bodhicitta continues and leads to enlightenment. Make aspirations to actualize the practice of bodhicitta and to bring more benefit to beings than even the sun and moon. Pray in this way. 3. The strength of critical intelligence. Any feeling at death, of fear, anguish, loss, confusion, anger, or despair, which are common at death, are all expressions of self-clinging that have not been remedied. At death, we have no choice but to remedy these feelings. If something is making you cling, you need to remedy it, to overcome it, now. You need to get over it so that you can die peacefully. Now is the time to relate to self-clinging, to use your critical intelligence against it. Let go as much as possible of these sets of thoughts and emotions, otherwise they will take over at death and completely dominate you. You need to summon the courage to make your last 6 months or 2 months or 1 month or 1 week the best preparation for death. You need to take this time to make the best use of your mind and not get stuck in these self-clinging states of mind. Use your critical intelligence against your dark and gloomy self-centered states and emotions, letting go of all self-clinging. 4. The strength of setting a powerful intention. Set the strong intention to really practice bodhicitta and not just pray to do so. Practice bodhicitta at the time of death and into the bardo, then into your next lives. Take the time of your remaining life into your hands with the intention to really use it to do the practice of bodhicitta. Know how this really works out more than anything else. In other words, when you know you are really dying, instead of continuously and desperately seeking out more doctors or comfort from the family, know how all that just leads to more disappointment, more despair and letdown. Make the strong intention to practice bodhicitta as much as possible, instead of doing these ultimately futile things. Know that the power of bodhicitta during the last week, month, or year will affect your mind in the bardo. Remember why you do this practice, the point in doing it, and how to do it. In other words, really set cause and effect in proper line. In this way, set your intention. Set the intention that you are not going to waste your time. From now until your death. When you know you are going to die, you are not going to waste time on comforts or even cures. Know how the practice of bodhicitta affects the bardo state, and know how to practice bodhicitta in the bardo state, and know the point. Everything depends on what you do now with your practice of bodhicitta. Do not forsake bodhicitta during this charged period of time. 5. The strength of familiarization. This is doing and becoming familiar with the two stages of bodhicitta practice. 1. The practice of relative bodhicitta, and then 2. The practice of absolute bodhicitta. As strong emotions come over you when you are dying, acknowledge that you are dying. Acknowledge that this is the most painful thing for most sentient beings. The level of attachment we have to life will generate a proportionate level of fear of death. As much as we take life to be real and cling to that, that much we will suffer. Before death, we haven't felt this level of attachment so much, but we really feel it when we are dying. We know that all who die go through this fear and suffering, so take this on to yourself. Take all the despair, confusion, hopelessness, anger, and suffering that occurs in relation to death. The feeling of loss and annihilation, a feeling like a victim, and bring this all into yourself. Then offer your own loving, compassionate, and sympathetic thoughts, along with your merit. In this way, do tonglen, taking and sending. Do this practice of relative bodhicitta when you are still alert and functioning. Eventually this will wear out, and you will become less capable of doing this. At that point, transition into the practice of absolute bodhicitta, and rest is the natural state of mind. Know that there is no sense of the realness of birth or death in the nature of mind. It's all illusory. Nothing affects the nature of mind at all. Know this from your own experience. You can see that nothing changes the nature of mind. Nothing changes the empty and luminous nature of mind. Death is only an experience in the mind, steeped in illusion. Here there is no birth or death. There is no reality to death. Rest in that. So at first, do more Tonglen and relative bodhicitta practice. Later, do more nature of mind practice, absolute bodhicitta practice. As brain function and the power of the body fades, do more resting in the nature of mind. Nothing can wear you out if you're resting in the nature of mind. This is how you want to die. In this way, as Jamgon Kongtrul Lodra Taye says, there are many forms of poa and many death meditations, but there is nothing greater than this. A real way of living with bodhicitta and a real way of dying with bodhicitta. Do the five strengths from the moment you are conscious you are dying until death itself arrives, increasing this practice as much as possible. What's the best thing to do during death? The three ways of dying. 1. Be like a deer. Animals always die alone. Wild animals die alone, so prepare to die alone. 2. Be like a bird. One never finds a bird's body after death. Die cleanly. Don't leave a trace. 3. Be like a beggar on the street. A beggar has no relatives or anything for people to clean up afterwards. Don't discriminate about where to die, how to die, or under what situation. Have no preferences. Always be prepared to die standing, sleeping, alone, or in a crowd, with no needs whatsoever. What's the best thing to do after death? Devotion. Devotion is the best thing for the intermediate state. Jongsar Kyentse Rinpoche. Jongsar Kyentse Rinpoche was born in Bhutan in 1961 and studied extensively with His Holiness the 16th Karmapa, Kyentse Rinpoche, and Dudjom Rinpoche. Rinpoche supervises his traditional seat in Tibet, Jongsar Monastery, as well as new monastic colleges in India and Bhutan. He has centers in Australia, North America, and Europe. Rinpoche is the director of the acclaimed films The Cup and Travelers and Magicians. He is the author of What Makes You Not a Buddhist and the founder of Siddhartha's Intent, which propagates his teaching throughout the world. Rinpoche replied to my questions via email. Before death, the most important thing a practitioner of Vajrayana Buddhism can do is remember the guru, the view, and the yidam. During death, if you are not a good practitioner, it is good to have someone there to help you remember those three. This could mean having someone shout the name of the guru or remind you of the view. They could also shout the name of the yidam or the mantra loudly, or show you a picture of the deity. However, if you are a seasoned practitioner, it helps to be left alone and undisturbed. After death, for the first 21 or 49 days, the best way for others to help you is to do anything to remind you of those three. They can also accumulate merit through the two fields, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and sentient beings. Jetsun Khandro Rinpoche. Jetsun Khandro Rinpoche was born in Kalimpong, Northeast India, in 1969, the daughter of Mindroling Trichin Rinpoche. In India, she received monastic training as well as a Western education from St. Joseph's Convent, Winburg Allen, and St. Mary's Convent. Rinpoche has been teaching actively in Europe, North America, and Southeast Asia since 1987. She established Samten Tse Retreat Center in India to benefit Eastern and Western students of Buddhism. Rinpoche established the Lotus Garden Retreat Center in 2003 to propagate the teachings of all four schools of Tibetan Buddhism. She is the author of This Precious Life, Tibetan Buddhist Teachings on the Path to Enlightenment. Rinpoche replied to my questions via email. At the time of death, there are many valuable and helpful things in the various traditions, and particularly in the Tibetan Vajrayana tradition, there are so many practices. However, as many teachers have said, the really most important and most realistic help before death is virtuous conduct. At the moment of death, the best help is supplicating to the guru and letting go. And after death, it's back to the first. If your actions were free from harming others, and you were genuinely kind, the merit accumulated in this way is the best help after death. Kenpo Karta Rinpoche. Kenpo Karta Rinpoche was born in Kham, Tibet, in 1925, and received traditional training at Trangu Monastery. He fled Tibet in 1959, arriving in Rumtek Monastery in India. He has taught extensively in Bhutan. Rinpoche came to the United States in 1976 at the request of His Holiness the 16th Karmapa to found Karma Triyana Dharma Chakra. Rinpoche has taught throughout the United States. His many books include Dharma Paths, Wish Fulfilling Wheel, and the multi-volume Karma Chakme's Mountain Dharma. The following interview was conducted at Rinpoche's monastery in upstate New York. What's the best thing to do to prepare for death? The best preparation for death must be done ahead of time, not right before dying. Take refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Do aspiration prayers and accumulate merit through offerings, Dharma activities, and practice. It is very important to prepare ahead of time. What's the best thing to do during death? There are two things involved. First, it would be great to have a master who can guide the person during their death and can give advice on how to concentrate during death. The other thing is that the practitioner may already have preparation, in terms of having read the Bardo books or different commentaries, and therefore already know what to do. Again, I can't emphasize enough the importance of preparation before death. Without preparation at the time of death, especially when going through the Bardo, you won't be able to recognize the deities when they arise, because you have not purified yourself and accumulated enough merit. What's the best thing we can do after death? Several things. The first is that the practitioner who has prepared well, they practiced well, read the Tibetan Book of the Dead, etc., will be able to recognize the appearance of the deities of the Bardo when they arise. Second, the relatives left behind, if they are Buddhist, can light butter lamps and practice for them. That really helps the person going through the Bardo. Third, you can request great masters to do practices for them. Ask them to do Powa or other practices. With these practices, the master is able to help them liberate from the Bardo. What's the best thing those left behind can do to help those who have died? Sangha can help the dying person a lot, especially if the Sangha doesn't have any impure samaya with that person. They can gather together, even from a distance, and do prayers for that person. This will make it easier for that person to pass through the Bardos. Are there any specific ceremonies that you would emphasize? They can do all kinds of practices, sadhanas, for the dead person. All of that will help. Amitabha practice is particularly effective and strongly recommended. The most important thing is that when they do this kind of practice for the dead person, they should do so with heartfelt bodhicitta. This will help tremendously. The essence of preparation is like what you would do for a big trip. If you're going to travel into an unknown place, you prepare ahead of time. You don't know the language, you don't know where to go, so study up on the language, learn about the country and how to get around. Even if you do all this, if you don't have money, you can't go. Similarly, even if you know how to do the visualizations for the time of death or after death, if you haven't gathered the accumulation of merit, you will come up short. So the point again is to focus on our practice, to prepare during life. Lama Thachin Rinpoche. Lama Thachin Rinpoche was born in Tibet and is a Dzogchen master who received his training at Dudjom Rinpoche's monastery. He fled Tibet in 1959 to live in India and Nepal, before arriving in the United States in 1984. He is the 10th lineage holder of the Repkong Ngakpas, a family lineage of yogis. Rinpoche is the founder of the Vajrayana Foundation and has established a monastic college and 3-year retreat center. He teaches throughout the United States, and his gentle presence has endeared him to thousands. This interview was conducted in Boulder, Colorado. What is the best thing for a practitioner to do before death? We are now in the Bardo of this life, which is from the moment of birth until the moment of a sickness that leads to our death. This is the time that is the best time to prepare. Dharma is how we can come to die professionally. That includes prostrations, circumambulation around sacred sites and the gathering of merit, mandala offerings, vajrasattva, taking refuge and generating bodhicitta, ngandro, and then guru yoga. It is especially helpful to prepare with poa practice. This is really powerful. We can practice poa now, then when the time comes to actually do it, our chances for success are much greater. Reading Karma Lingpa's 6 Bardo teachings is also helpful, along with the creation stage practices of Mahayoga. These deity and visualization practices are really wonderful. Then there are the completion stage practices and the 6 yogas of Naropa. This is all really important to do. The main point is the recognition of your own enlightened Buddha nature. When that wakes up in the Bardo, there is a chance you can be liberated at the level of the Dharmakaya. The deity practices prepare you for the Sambhogakaya. Any kind of practice is multiplied in the Bardo because consciousness is 9 times smarter in the Bardo. Therefore, if we can practice in the Bardo, it's easier to attain liberation at that time. What's the best thing one can do during death? It is good if someone can read or remind the dying person to practice the teachings of the 6 Bardos. In addition, try to remember these 6 things. Remember the view, remember the deity, remember mantra, remember your samaya, remember your faith and devotion, remember love and compassion. It is also helpful to remember the nyingma forms of liberation. Liberation through taste, and the blessing substances, the relics, liberation through touching, through hearing, through seeing, through remembering, and through wearing. One can also read the aspiration prayer of Samantabhadra, or the copper-colored mountain prayers. That can all be really helpful. It is also very helpful to give teachings that will help the dying person recognize the Bardo of Dharmata, and to help them remember Poa. Practitioner or not, remind them to focus at the top of their head. You can also touch up there or pull a little hair. Remember not to touch any lower parts of their body. Feeling directs consciousness, and it can make the consciousness exit from a lower door and take rebirth in a lower realm. You want consciousness to exit from the crown and merge with luminous emptiness awareness, so that your consciousness becomes vast like the sky. Reminding them of this is very helpful. There's also the recitation of all the Buddha's names and the Che Ying Zhe, Treasury of Dharma Dattu, by Long Chempa, which is what I usually recite. The root text is good to read. What's the best thing to do after someone dies? Each week, on the day that they died, they repeat the death experience, so this is a very special time for them and a time we can really help. You can do tzok, feast, offering on those days. Butter lamp offering is also special for those times because the lamps represent clear mind and help them find their way. If a practitioner is available, until the 49th day, every day they could do the Ne Dren ceremony, which is when you bring their consciousness into the support and then give empowerments and teachings and introduce the path that leads them to the pure land. You can also offer food and drink and perform the Sur offering. If you can do this every day until the 49th day, that is best, because 7 weeks is the longest they can stay in the Bardo. But especially in the first week, and then again for the 3rd week. There is a Poa component in the Ne Dren as well, so Poa is being practiced for them with this practice. You can read also the Tibetan Book of the Dead, because Bardo beings come back to hover around their loved ones during the Bardo of Becoming. This is the time when your prayers can penetrate and reach them directly, helping them. They can truly receive this help. Mingyur Rinpoche. Mingyur Rinpoche was born in Nepal in 1975, the youngest son of Tulku Urgen Rinpoche. He completed the traditional Buddhist training in philosophy and psychology before founding a monastic college in India. Rinpoche has a strong interest in Western science and has worked with neuroscientists on the effects of meditation on the brain. He teaches throughout the world and has retreat centers on 4 continents. Rinpoche is the founder of the Tergar Foundation, which propagates the Dharma around the world. He is the author of The Joy of Living, Unlocking the Secret and Science of Happiness, and Joyful Wisdom, Embracing Change and Finding Freedom. Rinpoche replied to my questions via email, then clarified some points in person in Boulder. What someone should do during death. Recognize mind nature. Recognize ground luminosity during the bardo of dying. Bardo practice for the bardo of becoming. Poa practice so that consciousness doesn't leave through the wrong hole. What others should do for someone who is dying. Encourage the dying person. Remind them to think of their teacher. Remind them of their dharma practice. Encourage them to recognize ground luminosity. What others can do after death. Do poa during the first 3.5 days. They can also read the Bardo Thedrol, the Tibetan Book of the Dead. After 3.5 days, do the Chang Chok Puja until the 49th day. This can be done every day, which is best, or every week on the day that the person died, for 7 weeks.
Namkha Drimed Rinpoche. Namkha Drimed Rinpoche was born in Tibet in 1938 and studied with the 14th Dalai Lama, the 16th Karmapa, in Dilgo Khyentse Rinpoche. In addition to his monastery, Rigon Tashi Chöling, in Nepal, Rinpoche has monasteries in India and Tibet. His Eminence has taught in the West for years, most recently under the auspices of Shambhala International. He is a revered Tertön, or treasure discoverer, and an expert on the legendary Gesar of Ling. This interview was conducted at Rinpoche's home in Kathmandu, Nepal. What's the best thing to do before death? First and foremost, since we have this precious human life, it's very important that we really use this golden opportunity in a better way. Whether you go to the upper realms or to the lower realms depends totally on how you deal with your precious human life. How you are going to use this life in a better way, whether you go up or down, depends on what you do now. It's very necessary that while we are healthy and living, we should accumulate virtuous actions and not get involved in non-virtuous actions with our body, speech, and mind. This is an important preparation, living in a good way with pure motivation and virtuous action. One has to practice a great deal, starting from the preliminary practices, Ngondro, all the way to Dzogchen. These are very necessary to do as a Buddhist. Don't skip. Don't jump to Dzogchen. Do the stages properly and thoroughly, step by step. If you practice like this, it will be very beneficial. If you practice in a really good way, you will be prepared. You will be content at the time of death. But we are ordinary people. We have lots of things to do, so we don't get much time to practice. For these kinds of people, those not really prepared, when they are dying, it will probably be panicky for them. They won't be sure how to deal with it. So for people like that, ordinary people engaged in lots of activities in daily life, poa instruction is extremely beneficial. This is something you can do yourself. It is not complicated. If you practice well, then during death you will remember the instruction, even if you have been engaged in lots of non-virtuous action. At the end of your life, even if you really regret what you have done, you still have a chance to go to the pure realm. That's why poa is considered so important. Poa is something that anyone can do. That's why poa for Sukhavati is considered the most excellent one. That's why getting instruction for poa is such an excellent thing and provides so much benefit. You don't have to meditate much on it, and you will get enlightened by not doing much meditation. That is what is said. But we still do have to meditate on poa. It still must be practiced prior to death. We should abandon non-virtuous action and try to do more virtuous action. We should pray to our root guru, always, and arouse strong faith and devotion to Guru Rinpoche. These should always be there, unchanging. Then, of course, faith in the Dharma altogether and finding the time to practice more. Why poa is so important is that when you are about to die, you remember all the instructions, and where you go after death depends on this time and what you do. We have everything in this body. Whether we go to the lower realms or the upper realms,
we have this jewel, which people don't know sometimes. They are confused when they are about to die. They really don't know what to do. But with Poa instruction, we really know where to go. That is why Poa instruction is extremely important, and the easiest Pure Land to go to is Sukhavati. But the blessing of Guru Rinpoche and Amitabh and Chenresi, this is something very powerful and also made easy for all ordinary people. That's why Poa, doing it when we are about to die, is extremely beneficial. What's the best thing we can do for each other when we die? Death is the separation of the mind and the body. They go separate ways. We normally visualize while doing Poa practice that consciousness is sent up, and sending it up is like going into the three upper realms. If you send your consciousness down while you are about to die, that means you are going into the three lower realms. That is why we need to make sure to send it up. During that time, it is very important how you concentrate your consciousness and where you send it. If you are confused and send it down, it will go into the three lower realms. So we have to be sure to send it up to Amitabh's Pure Land. Once again, this is why Poa instruction is extremely important and beneficial. We are preparing not to send our consciousness downward. The importance of Poa cannot be overstated. Everybody has the crown opening, Brahmarandra, but so few know about it, until and unless you practice Poa. Once we do Poa practice, this crown area opens, so consciousness can go easily up. When it opens up, you can actually feel it. You feel an itch, slight unease at the top of the head. Then it becomes very loose, and you can actually put something in that opening, like a piece of straw. So suppose that you are about to die, and you get the signs that you are about to die. During that time, you must remember where to send your consciousness. If you have received the instructions on Poa, that is good, but you are not allowed to do Poa for others. It is said that only the high masters who have really powerful and skillful means can do that, but not ordinary people who do Poa. Rinpoche is referring to strict Poa, the iron hook of compassion, not the essential Poa of Sogyal Rinpoche that anyone can do. What you can do, since you are not allowed to do this Poa for others, is to contact a qualified master and ask them to do Poa for the dying person. You can go near the dying person and feel compassion, immense compassion, and pray to your root guru, pray to whoever you have a wisdom connection with. This immense compassion is extremely beneficial for the dying person. It is said there are four things you can do. If you have a statue of Guru Rinpoche, keep it in front of the person who is dying. Show it to him or her. Just seeing it can eliminate the person's suffering and prevent them from going into the three lower realms. Secondly, one can read the Tibetan Book of the Dead. Let the person hear it. This is extremely beneficial. Don't be shy about reading it loudly so they can hear it. They can still hear it, even if they may be in a coma. Make sure they can hear what you are reading, which can bring about liberation. That is the meaning of Bardo Tedral, the great liberation through hearing in the Bardo. When you are dying, you have to be very careful. Reading the book will help them know what is going on and what they need to do. They have to know that they are dying. Thirdly, one can place the takdrol, liberation blanket, when they are about to die, and then cremate or bury them with it. Fourth, give them the pills, dutsi, from the high masters. This is very good to do. Now they have something to taste, and to hear, and to feel, and to see. Four of the six forms of liberation in the Nyingma tradition. By reading the Tibetan Book of the Dead to them, when they are dying, we can remind them, now you are going to encounter this kind of experience, so you have to be careful. You may encounter hallucinations. There is no need to be afraid. Do not get attached to the hallucinations that arise or be afraid of them. This is telling them to prepare for what they may see and experience, which is very important. Before the person dies, make sure you read the instructions of this book to them. Once the person dies, the outer breath ceases, but the inner breath continues for about 10 or 20 minutes. The sign that the inner breath continues is that they remain warm. If you can reach your spiritual masters during this time of the inner dissolution, this is the best time for them to do Poa for the person. This is when it is most effective because consciousness is still in the body and it makes it easier for a lama to eject the consciousness. After the person dies, consciousness dissolves into the heart. and at that moment the person faints, like falling into darkness.
It depends on the individual. Some people faint for 1 hour, others for half an hour. During that time, poa is very effective if done by a high master. If there is no poa, consciousness will eventually go away from that darkness. Then it is very difficult for the master to do poa. If the dead person doesn't receive poa, they wake up after death and often do not know whether they are dead or not. Because we are habituated to all the things we do normally, we continue to try to do the same old things after death. Tukdam is something different. Masters do tukdam because they have not completed what they have to do, so they go into meditation again. Because they have not totally completed their practice, they were unable to finish everything before they died. During death, they re-enter meditation and do what they would do normally. When they come out of tukdam, they become normal again. The body begins to decay and smell. In tukdam, the body does not stink, and they have not totally died. During this time, they are completing their practice. What's the best thing to do after someone has died? After death, the person experiences a great deal of fear because there is so much that is unfamiliar. Therefore, shitro practice, if done prior to death, helps them recognize what is happening. They remember the shitro practice. Without this sort of preparation, there is a great deal of fear. If we know the deities, they are peaceful. If we do not recognize them, they become wrathful, and we feel like they are going to attack us. Rinpoche then spoke on the ritual of Shendur, or Dur, and entered deep into the mysteries of Tibetan Buddhism. I hesitated to include the following, but Rinpoche felt it was important for students of this tradition. If the person who dies is 80 years old or so, their lifespan has really finished. If people are younger when they die, perhaps 70 years old, it is fairly certain that you are dying because of obstacles, the maras. We all have maras, but we do not see them. There are maras who want to take your life. Because of their negative influence, a person may die. If this kind of death occurs, you are under 80 years or so at the time of death, then it is very necessary to do a certain kind of puja called Shendur. She is the mara who has taken the life of that person. Shendur is done in order to subdue that mara who has taken the life of that person. It is very necessary that this puja be done. Otherwise, this mara who took the life of the person creates lots of problems for that person. Problems arise because you cannot separate the mara from that person. The mara always tries to bring obstacles to that person. Whatever puja you might perform for that person is not effective because that mara is causing obstacles. So it is extremely helpful to do the shendur to remove the mara, making all subsequent pujas more effective. So by doing the shendur puja first, all other pujas will be much more effective. Otherwise, the mara will try to stop the benefit of the other pujas and continue to create obstacles. Then you can do the pujas every week for 49 days, and they will be of even greater benefit. We should do whatever we can during these 49 days, because the bardo being is truly suffering. They are wandering, not knowing what to do, where to go. They are lost. This is the bardo. They need our help. If you are unable to perform any pujas to help the deceased person during these 49 days, then it is very difficult to help the person in the bardo. It is almost certain they will descend into the lower realms. This is why people perform many pujas during the 49 days. If you don't do shendur, people tend to come back as spirits or ghosts into other people's lives. So shendur is very important. It is important because in our local community, people die and become ghosts. I have seen many non-Buddhists in Orissa, India. And then someone dies in their family because that person does not have a body. His spirit comes and eats everything, whatever they cook. They experience this sort of thing. The bardo being is wandering like a ghost. You can hear that person, but you do not see them. I have seen this even in the Tibetan community. Because they have not performed the Shendur Puja, the spirit comes back to the family, hovering around, stuck as a ghost. Shendur is something you cannot do by yourself. You have to sponsor a monastery to do it because you need many ritual implements to perform it. Ask a monastery to do it for the deceased. You need practitioners who have some power to do this. Without spiritual power,
one is unable to subdue the Maras. So contact a monastery, give them the name of the person who died, and ask them to do the Shendur Puja. This way it is easy. Shendur is something that has to be done in a monastery with a more realized master, someone with more power.
Dzogchen Ponlop Rinpoche. Dzogchen Ponlop Rinpoche was born in Rumtek Monastery, India, in 1965. He graduated from the 9-year monastic college in Rumtek and studied closely with the 16th Karmapa, Kensei Rinpoche, and Kenpo Sultrim Gyamso Rinpoche. In 1994, Rinpoche established Nitartha International to integrate computer technology and traditional Tibetan scholarship. In 1995, he founded Nitartha Institute, a systematic training for Western students. In 1997, Rinpoche established Nalanda Bodhi, his network of centers around the world. His many publications include Rebel Buddha, Mind Beyond Death, and Wild Awakening. The interview was held in Seattle. What would you tell your students is the best thing to do before death? Live your life fully, and use every moment, every opportunity, in a way that is beneficial for oneself and for others. If we live every moment the same, in a positive, peaceful, and kind way, then death is also another moment, the same. So there's no difference. If we're not living our life in that way, and always preparing for something to come in the future, at the end, then our preparation is a little bit contradictory with what we're trying to do. How can we expect something positive to happen in one instant, at some point in the future, when we are not living that in every moment? So I think that's the most important thing. So people are talking about preparing for death and dying, but actually, how can we prepare? How do we know? Are we going to die in an accident? Are we going to die from a terminal disease? Are we going to die in some unusual way or usual way? There's nothing to predict, and if we can't work with every moment, then we will definitely not be able to work with that moment. So setting our mind in that direction, setting our mind in that way, preparing and working with every moment is the best way to prepare for death. And don't make death a big deal. What's the best instruction for someone who is actually in the dying process? Reminding them of that and creating a peaceful environment, an environment where openness, kindness, and love fill the space. The most important thing is to help anyone who is dying to relax. Doesn't matter what religion or no religion, that's the most important thing. Help them relax and have some kind of positive environment and positive thought processes. One thing is that we have this Judeo-Christian culture, which is sometimes negative, in that you have to confess everything before you die. Anything that you did wrong in this life, you have to remember that and make it straight. This view causes more turbulence, because you're always reflecting and looking at something you did wrong. You're regretting it, or trying to find the person to confess to, and to make it straight. That kind of thing is actually good to do in this life, not in that moment of death. That moment is the moment where you relax. What's the best thing the spiritual community can do to help someone who has died? If it's a Sangha brother or sister, then I think it's helpful to do some practices and speak directly to that deceased person, reminding them. Remind them of their Mahamudra instructions, which you can also do just before they are dying. Remind them how to look at the nature of mind, and remember that. Help them to remember the instructions for the nature of mind. Help them to remember their guru. Remind them to think of their guru, to think of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and to connect with their own practice. That's the key thing. The main practice is that of reminding them, of helping them connect with that. If it's your family or someone else, then it's important to do something that's beneficial for the world and dedicate the beneficial activity for that person. When I was living in Vancouver, I thought many times of those park benches that were dedicated for those who had died. Something like that. It's really very beautiful. Do something that's good for the community, good for people, good for beings. If the dead person had any money or any possessions, then dedicate those things to a good cause. If the dead person intentionally gave instructions on what to do with their possessions, then of course we need to follow that. But if there are no instructions, we should try to do the best we can with their things. Those objects of attachment could be used in a positive way, so that the object of attachment is transformed.
By doing so, the attachment itself will be transformed. The idea is to generate good causes. A lot of times we don't see that. The objects can generate bad causes of attachment and suffering, and so we try to use the objects for personal benefit. If the surviving family members are really poor and need something, then definitely there's no doubt about it. Use the possessions to benefit them. But if that's not really necessary, then it's good to use their possessions for a positive cause.
Tenga Rinpoche. Tenga Rinpoche was born in Kham, Tibet, in 1932. He fled to Rumtek Monastery in India after the Chinese invasion, where he spent 17 years as Dorje Lopan. Rinpoche settled in Kathmandu, Nepal, in 1976, and established Benchen Monastery, a large monastic complex that continues to thrive. Rinpoche taught extensively in Europe and the United States, and is the author of Transition and Liberation. This interview was held in Swayambhunath, Nepal. I felt very fortunate to meet with Rinpoche. He was elderly and not in good health. Sadly, he passed away on March 30th, 2012. What's the best thing to do to prepare for death? Generally speaking, how to prepare for our death very much depends on the practice of bodhicitta, the altruistic mind, and the lopjong mind training. So this should be trained within certainty before one dies. What's the best thing we can do when we are in the process of dying? At the time of death, it is very important to hold on to this practice. In other words, if one can remain within the attitude of bodhicitta, the altruistic mind, at the moment of death, this is extremely helpful. And of course, if one is a practitioner, especially practicing the nature of mind, at the moment of death it is very important to remain in the state of the practice that is known as Mahamudra, or the nature of mind. Then that person might have the possibility to achieve the state of Dharmakaya at the time of death. If not, then at least if one is engaging in the practice of any kind of divinities or yidams, that person will have the chance to achieve the state of enlightenment in the bardo in the form of the yidam, in other words, in the form of the Sambhogakaya. What's the best thing we can do for the person who has died? As part of the Sangha, it's definitely good to engage in our individual practices and make aspirations or wishing prayers for the dead person, or even the person who is dying, and dedicate the merit of our practice to them.
Tenzin Wangyal Rinpoche.
Tenzin Wangyal Rinpoche was born in Amritsar, India. After completing 11 years of traditional studies, Rinpoche received his Geshe degree, equivalent to a Western PhD. He is a leading exponent of the Tibetan Bon tradition, as well as a master of Tibetan Buddhism. Rinpoche is the founder and spiritual director of Lingmincha Institute in Virginia, an active teacher in the West, and the author of many books, including The Tibetan Yogas of Dream and Sleep, Wonders of the Natural Mind, Healing with Form, Energy, and Light, and most recently, Awakening the Sacred Body. This interview was conducted at Chambala Mountain Center in Colorado. What's the best thing to do to prepare for death? The main thing, the best thing, is to just let go of everything. Don't worry about anything. Whatever is remaining, whatever you have left behind, people will take care of it. You need to be free from loved ones, from possessions, from your own ideas and thoughts. Try to do what you have been trained to do in the path. Everything you have done over the spiritual path in this life is about letting go. At the end, just let go of everything possible. If that is not possible, then you do need to take care of things. But to prepare oneself, the point is to step by step just let go of whatever you are able to let go of and gradually work your way into what you are not able to let go of and then try to release that. There will always be challenges at the last minute. Some people still don't want to let go of things. But do your best in advance to let go. What's the best thing to do during the bardo of dying? It varies from person to person. There are different paths and people believe different things. Generally, there will be a lot of experiences after death, so try to become familiar with what is going to happen so that you are more prepared when the different visions come. It's like preparing to recognize a dream to be a dream. When you recognize that you are dreaming, you are no longer afraid of what happens in the dream. You can guide it. You can grow from it. It is the same thing with the dying process. If you understand, if you have the knowledge of the bardos are, what the visions are, what they mean, then you will have confidence. So during life, you should learn about the bardos and practice for the bardos, become familiar with them, and even test some of those experiences in the dream, using dream yoga to prepare, so that when you encounter these visions after death, you will be ready. It is also good to resolve any family conflicts before death. You don't want to carry those conflicts into the bardo. This conflict resolution is probably even more important than drawing up legal wills. What's the best thing to do for someone after they have died? Those left behind should do the sur offering, the smoke offering, for 49 days. Every day, if possible. Then every 7 days, family and friends could do some special transition ceremonies to help the person go from one step to the next step in their journey. It's also good to burn lots of candles as a light offering, an offering of wisdom that can illuminate their journey. That is considered important. And also do poa. If they were a believer, it's good to have someone, a lama, do poa for them. This is my heart advice. Trangu Rinpoche. Trangu Rinpoche was born in Kham, Tibet in 1933 and received his traditional monastic training at Trangu Monastery. Rinpoche became the abbot of Rumtek Monastery in India and eventually moved to Nepal, where he maintains a number of nunneries, monasteries, retreat centers, schools, and clinics. Rinpoche founded a monastic college in Sarnath, India, and heads hundreds of dharma centers around the world. His many books include Buddha Nature, Open Door to Emptiness, and Journey of the Mind. This interview was conducted in Bodhanath, Nepal. What is the most important thing to do before death? In teachings on the bardo, the period of this life is called the natural bardo of this life. It is important to do spiritual practice and meditation in this life, in particular the teachings on mind training, Lop Chong, and the Tonglen practice of sending and taking are the most important. So the best way to prepare for the bardo is to place good tendencies on your mind now. If you have a good heart and a very stable mind right now, then that will naturally extend into the bardo. What is the most important thing to do during death? At the time of death, you should try to meditate on bodhicitta and maintain an attitude of kindness. You should not be attached to your wealth, possessions, friends, or family, and those around you should not talk about inheritances or your possessions. It is best if you can study the bardos in advance and prepare for what you will encounter when you die. There is a great deal of literature on the bardos, and by spending time with it now, you will know what to do when you are dying. What's the best thing we can do for someone after they have died? The best things for people to do on behalf of someone who has died are to make aspiration prayers, meditate on bodhicitta, and do poa practice. In general, there are people who believe in Buddhism and the bardos, and those who do not. For those who do believe in the bardos, it would be very good if you could help them recognize how the bardo appears, what actually appears in the bardo. For those who don't believe in the bardos, it is helpful to have good heart for them, to generate the bodhicitta mind. Are there any particular ceremonies or rituals that can help them? It's good if one can recite aspiration prayers, virtually any of them. In the Tibetan world, we also have the tradition of doing the puja of Shitru, the peaceful and wrathful deities. If you, Rinpoche, had a student who was dying, and you were at their side helping them, is there anything else that you would do for them? When someone is dying, it is helpful to give them the blessing pills, dutsi. You can also remind them about the dharma, the sangha, and the teachings. In other words, remind them about taking refuge in the three jewels. Tsoknyi Rinpoche. Tsoknyi Rinpoche was born in Nepal in 1966 and did his monastic training in India. He returned to Nepal in 1990 to establish Engadon Osel Ling Monastery. His western seat is Yeshe Rangsel in Crestone, Colorado. Rinpoche heads 55 monasteries in Tibet and is the abbot of two nunneries in Nepal, as well as the largest nunnery in Tibet. His books include Carefree Dignity and Fearless Simplicity. Rinpoche has a facility with Western ways and is deeply committed to working with Western students. The following is from a phone interview. What is the best thing a student can do before death? Refresh the teachings. Whatever you have received, go through your database of teachings and refresh it. There are a lot of teachings, but try to capture the essential points of what you have received. The main points are to be detached and to refresh your recognition of the nature of mind. What is the best meditation to do before death? This being a phone interview, Rinpoche heard medication instead of meditation, to which he replied, "It's best to have medications that reduce the pain but that don't interfere too much with cognitive functions, that allow the person as much mental clarity as possible." After I clarified the question, Rinpoche continued, "For older students, find the nature of mind, which is mind beyond death and dying. The mind doesn't die. Find that mind and rest there. For newer students, they can rest in meditation. Mostly it depends on each person, according to their belief, to create some hope. It's okay to connect to your own belief to find some peace." What is the best thing to do when someone is actually dying? There are several options here. One option is that if you have a Yidam, meditation deity, you can grab onto that. By doing so, the Yidam binds your mind. Again, whatever is happening, whatever is dissolving, the best thing is to maintain the unborn mind, the recognition of the nature of mind. Don't be afraid of the dissolution. Things may be dissolving, but you are resting in the nature of mind, which is beyond dissolution and death. What's the best thing for Sangha to do to help the dying person? If you know the person's Yidam, that is very good. Invoke the mind of the Yidam, and mix your mind, the mind of the dying person, and the mind of the Yidam together. Then rest in the nature of mind. That is a very big support for the one who is dying. Should the Sangha do the Yidam practice along with the dying person? Yes. If the helping person is familiar and understands Yidam practice, then they can remind the dying person of the qualities of the Yidam. It is also helpful to recite the mantra of the Yidam. The dying person can recite it, and Sangha at the side of the person can recite it with them. Think of the person's mind, the mind of the Yidam, and your nature of mind mingled together. Rest in that state. That is very helpful. It is also good to read Vajra songs and Dohas of Fearlessness. Beginner practitioners can also do this. Read teachings on Mahamudra, Dzogchen, and other inspiring readings, along with the Tibetan Book of the Dead. The helping person has to have some kind of intuition and be able to adjust according to the person who is dying. If they are Christian, say something to connect them to God. If they are Buddhist, then say something to help them connect to the underlying mind. If they are a free thinker, then help them connect with the peace in their mind and to let go of fear. You have to see and understand the person in order to know how to best say, "Relax, let it go." Provide what gives them hope beyond life, whether it's God, the pure lands, or the undying and unchanging mind. Most importantly, the helping person needs to use their intuition and wisdom to properly convey what they understand, and to match the belief of the dying person. What's the best thing to do when someone wakes up in the bardo after death? The first thing is for you to recognize that you are dead. Secondly, you should know that all the phenomena that you are experiencing now are bardo phenomena. Know that everything is the expression of your own mind. Think to yourself, "I'm not going to go crazy with the expressions of my mind. I'm going to try to find the nature of my own mind, which is beyond the delusion." Everything that is happening is the expression of your mind. It is better not to get caught up in that expression, but to capture the royal seat of the nature of mind. What is the best thing that Sangha can do to support someone after they have died? In a general way, every week you can do practices for them, because every week they have a chance to change their life, to change the course of their bardo experience. The most important thing for changing in the bardo is to know that they have lived their life properly and can therefore let go of that life with confidence. On those days, you can do more pujas or prayers, or you can go through the Tibetan Book of the Dead, day by day. If you can read it in the house where they lived, where they spent the most time, that is best, because they usually come back to familiar places. They will probably not recognize that they are dead, so when they come back and hear the reading, they may recognize or remember that they are dead. And then they may click onto some good things, like remembering the teachings and what they should do. Any final comments, Rinpoche, if you were at the side of someone who was dying? 2 things. First, if they were willing to hear your advice, then give them hope. Tell them that the relative is dying, the ultimate is not dying. Give them hope that they can recognize the ultimate, the nature of their mind, the mind that is unchanging and undying. You have to give a little promotion on the deathless side. Secondly, then the phenomena of this life that they are leaving, that they used properly, just let it go. What is the role of Pure Land teachings for students in the West? It depends on the student. In Tibet, they have a very strong belief and trust that the Pure Land is there, so they have hope to be reborn there. It's case by case. I can't tell someone who has spent their entire life not believing in Pure Lands to suddenly start to believe in them at the time of their death. That's very hard to do. But Western practitioners tend to believe in the nature of mind as something special. So make that the doorway.
Tulku Thondup Rinpoche. Tulku Thondup Rinpoche was born in Tibet in 1939.
He fled to India in 1958 and taught at Lucknow University and then Viswa Bharati University. In 1980, he went to Harvard University as a visiting scholar. Rinpoche works at translating and preserving Tibetan texts under the auspices of the Buddhayana Foundation. He is the author of many books, including Hidden Teachings of Tibet, Enlightened Living, Buddha Mind, and Peaceful Death, Joyful Rebirth. After I spoke with Rinpoche in Colorado, he emailed his response. The Tibetan Book of the Dead and other esoteric tantra teachings have taught the ways of attaining Buddhahood by realizing one's own nature of innate wisdom and wisdom lights while we are dying or while we are traveling in the bardo. These teachings are the most profound instructions for those who are highly accomplished meditators. However, it is very important for us to know that for ordinary people like ourselves, who have been drowning long and deep in the ocean of samsara, with hardened habits of dualistic concepts, emotional afflictions, and sensational feelings, and who have little or no high meditative experience in advance, it is hard to realize and maintain one's wisdom nature and attain Buddhahood at the junction of such a traumatic period of life, death and bardo. For such realization, we must transcend our samsaric mentalities and awaken the innate wisdom nature and qualities of nirvana, the Buddhahood. But there is also another way. If we accumulate a good amount of merits and make heartfelt aspirations to take rebirth in a manifested pure land, Nirmankaya Kshetra, such as the blissful pure land, Sukhavati, of the Buddha of Infinite Light, Amitabha, taking rebirth in the pure land will become much easier. For taking rebirth and living in such a pure land, there is no need to transcend dualistic mentalities, emotional afflictions, and sensational frictions, because in manifested pure lands, we live with positive thoughts, positive emotions, and positive feelings. Furthermore, in such a pure land, we will not be experiencing any sufferings or committing any cause of sufferings, so that the attainment of Buddha is assured for us before very long. Therefore, it might be practical and feasible for many of us to work toward taking rebirth in a manifested pure land, or at least a happier and helpful rebirth in a healthier human or God realm, by accumulating merits and making aspirations. Making merits and aspirations is the way of gaining peace, joy, and enlightenment for oneself, and sharing them with others. It is the heart of Tibetan Buddhist trainings, and the esoteric teachings, such as the Tibetan Book of the Dead, elaborate on them extensively.